We missed a week last week. We're back at it. Find 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. How many of you have ever had someone say to you, "You ain't seen nothing yet"? Now, that's good grammar, but all right, yeah, many of you have, and typically that means things are going to get a lot worse. And, you know, you look at our world today. Well, let me just throw it out. How would you describe the world today? Out of control. Chaotic. What else? Abomination. That's a nice biblical word. Good. What else? Lost. Which, by the way, it's kind of interesting to me. We expect a lot more out of unsaved people than we should. Why do they live like they live? Well, they're lost. They're controlled by the flesh. But, you know, you look around and you look at the world. Just think, I'm 56 years old, but if I could think of, say, 30 years ago, in the entertainment 30 years ago versus today, wow, what a change. What a change. And not for the better, unfortunately. You look at the rise of the homosexual movement, and I don't know if, and I don't want to be crass or anything, but I don't know if you heard about the guy who said he was a transsexual or whatever and wanted to change in the ladies' locker room. Well, duh. You know, this is what they've been after. Well, they got what they wanted. But what a wicked time. Now, here's the thing, folks. You ain't seen nothing yet. You really haven't. And even though Satan is the prince of the power of the air, he is being hindered in his work. He is being limited in his work today, and there's going to come a time when that hindering, that holding back, is going to be removed. Now, can you imagine what that will be like? When Satan has free reign and can do whatever he wants to do. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about this event. It is one of the three events that Paul said have to happen before the final day of the Lord. As you remember, Paul had taught these young believers a great deal about end times. He had taught them about the rapture, about the revelation. We'll talk about that momentarily. And something was going on in the church, and they were greatly troubled. So I'm going to review for those that are new and for those that are like me and can't remember what we taught 2 weeks ago, or even last week, or what you read yesterday, okay? And first of all, in this text, we see the problem with their thinking, and it starts out in verse 1. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together under him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind." All right, something had come along and was shaking their thinking, like an earthquake, okay? And he says, "And you are troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." And you remember, somebody in the church had said, "Look, we are in the middle of the day of Christ, in the day of this great day of judgment when God comes and finally judges sin in a horrendous way, this day of the Lord, this day of Christ." And because they were going through great persecution, somebody said to them, "We are in the midst of it right now." Now, Paul is writing this letter to straighten out these truths about the rapture and the revelation. By the way, the day of the Lord is the rapture or the revelation? Very good. So far, we're 100%. The revelation. The revelation, as you remember, the Lord Jesus Christ comes back in the air. All believers are raptured out. What's the next event? After the rapture, tribulation. The tribulation goes on, and we'll talk more about that today. 7 years of tribulation. At the end of that, I believe, is when the day of the Lord, the time of God's great final judgment, comes on the scene. Now, they were telling these people, "You're in the day of the Lord." All right, that means they missed the rapture. That means they're in big trouble. Okay? So there's the problem with their thinking. Now, he's going to spend the rest of this chapter correcting their thinking. And he said, "Look, I want to remind you, there are three things that have to occur before this final day of the Lord, this final judgment of God." All right? And we've seen two of them. We're going to add a third today. And let me remind you what they are. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, what's the day he's talking about? Day of the Lord shall not come, except there come a falling away first. There's the first thing. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And again, that's just amazing to me. Many of you have been saved for years and years and years. And if we had to sit down and say, okay, here are the prophetic events. Here's what's going to happen. Many of us would say, and he's saying, look, as new believers, I taught you these things. Amazing truth. And we're going to move on to verse 6 and 7 today. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And we'll talk about that, try to explain that to you. So, three things that have to happen. What's the first thing in the text that has to happen before the day of the Lord? Falling away, and we call that apostasy. This great apostasy must occur. Now, hold your place there and flip over to 1 Timothy. We didn't look at this last time, but I want to. 1 Timothy chapter 4. verse 1. Now, historically, there have been many times of great apostasy, many times of unbelief. And there are going to be more. Notice what it says in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, this is a coming apostasy in the latter times. This is already going on. Forbidding to marry. That's been going on for a long time in the Catholic Church. All kinds of things, apostasy is going on. But folks, I believe Paul is saying, look, this is a very specific apostasy. He said, you will know it, okay? He said, the day of the Lord's not going to happen till this apostasy occurs. And he said, you will be able to identify it. Here's what I think it is. And this is, I guess, opinion. I believe this apostasy is the final apostasy that takes place in the middle of the tribulation. As you remember, when the tribulation starts, who begins to come on the scene to rule? The Antichrist. How does he come on the scene to rule? He's a peacemaker, that's exactly right. He's got all the answers. And he comes on peacefully, and he allows the Jews to rebuild the temple, and they reestablish worship in the temple, and religions are carrying on, and things are going on for 3.5 years. And at the 3.5 year point, he enters into the temple and offers the abomination of desolation. And at that point, he begins to say that he is God, that he should be worshipped, and the world religions are destroyed, and there is now one religion, and that is the religion, the worship of the Antichrist. I believe personally that is the great apostasy that must occur. It's a very clear event. When it happens, they will know. Okay? So he says, first of all, you got to have this apostasy. What's the second thing the text says must happen before this great day of the Lord? I'm not sure if I heard the answer or not. Yes, the son of perdition will be revealed. Yeah, that's an important word. He'll be revealed. We will see him as he truly is. And I think I've already covered that for you. And the Antichrist comes on the scene at the beginning of the tribulation, but his real person is not revealed until that 3.5 year period. And I really believe that these two events are one and the same. The Antichrist is revealed at the apostasy. They happen at the same time. Paul said the day of the Lord is not going to happen till after those events, okay? Now, I want you to turn this morning. We did not do this again last time, but I want to add some. Matthew chapter 25. Somebody tell me what's found in Matthew chapter 5. What sermon Now, I kind of misled you just now. Matthew 25. Did I say 5? Or 24? I'm sorry, 24. 25, 26. Do I hear 27? Sold! All right. Matthew 24. I'm sorry. I kind of misled you because I said, what sermon? And immediately you thought Sermon on the Mount. Where is the Sermon on the Mount? Yeah, 5, 6, and 7. This is called the Mount of Olives. It's called the Olivet Discourse. There you go. And here the Lord is speaking and gives this great prophetic passage. And folks, it really just parallels with exactly what we're talking about. In chapter 24 and verse 15, it says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. What is that? I've already talked about it this morning. When the Antichrist comes in and desolates the temple, okay? He said, when you therefore shall see the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Now think about that. We're in 2016. This has not occurred yet. Daniel was written, I should have looked that up, probably 500-600 B.C. So there's 2,600 years at least. Don't know whether it's going to occur, but this event was spoken of by Daniel at least 2,500 years ago. It hasn't occurred yet. Think about that. Then let them be which in Judea flee into the mountains. And he's talking about what they need to do because things are going to be so bad. But look at verse 21. For then shall be what? Great tribulation. All right? So again, this is the second half of the tribulation. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Look in verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall do great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And of course, that's the coming of the Antichrist and of all his followers. By the way, it's interesting. We worship the Trinity, don't we? We believe in the Trinity. At least I hope you do. They are made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's interesting. During this time, there will be a trinity of evil made up of Satan, who would be the counterpart of God the Father, and the false prophet, who would be the equivalent of, be careful. I kind of tricked you because I went backwards. Let me go with the easy one. The Antichrist, who is a type of, or is the opposite of, there you go, that was easy. And that only leaves one, all right, process of elimination, and the Holy Spirit and the false prophet. So this evil trinity rises up and begins to rule and to reign. All right, so now look down at verse 29. And it says, immediately after the tribulation in those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. And what great event is this going to be? This is not the rapture. You say, wait a minute, I thought in the rapture all the saints were taken out. They are. But what happens after the rapture? You got the tribulation, and we're going to talk more about this in a minute. What happens during the tribulation? Yeah, a lot of folks get saved. So they're gathered out, and folks, this is when the day of the Lord, Armageddon, is going to occur, setting up the millennial kingdom. So those are the events, all right? So the rejection of truth, the revelation of the Antichrist, back in 2 Thessalonians, let me give you the third one. 2 Thessalonians. And we go down to verse number 6. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the world. If you read that passage and you think, what? He who now letteth will let until he be taken out of this world. What in the world is it talking about? Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked. Now, it's interesting. In verse 6, it says, what? So there's the neuter form, but you get down to verse 7, and it says, not what, but he. All right? So that tells you something, all right? This is not just some impersonal force. This is a individual, an identifiable individual. It's a person of some sort, all right? Now, the words withholdeth and letteth. You see those in the passage in verse 6. You see withholdeth in verse 7. You see the word let and letteth. Those are all the same word in the original, okay? And this will help you because when you say, he that letteth will now let, what in the world does that mean? The idea is to hold back, to hold down, or suppress. I could tell Joey, I want you to stand up. Go ahead, just stand up. But I am holding him down. I'm suppressing him. He said, you do that every Sunday. I'm sorry about that, Joey. It's rough. But so that's the picture, all right? And he says, someone is holding back, suppressing this mystery of iniquity, which is already working. Now, what in the world is that talking about? Well, the man of sin cannot be revealed until this restrainer, this suppressor, this one who's holding back is taken out of the way. Now, think about this. This restrainer is holding back the work of Satan. Okay? Satan is limited in what he can do because he's being restrained. He's being, I'm going to keep you awake this morning, suppressed, all right? Not that you ever fall asleep, but just keep the record straight here, okay? Now, look what he says. He says, the mystery of iniquity is already working. Now, that's interesting. Now, again, what is a mystery in the Bible? Is it like Agatha Christie, the whodunit? What is it? Someone define mystery for me in the Bible. All right, something that's shown in the Old Testament, but we just don't quite understand it, but it's revealed later on, and he's saying the mystery of iniquity is already being revealed. It's already working. Well, isn't that true? I mean, it's already working today. And again, you see it everywhere you look. You've thought much about abortion lately? Think about a mother and the most cherished relationship that mother will ever have with a child. And yet a mother chooses to put that child to death. How's that possible? Yeah. Yeah, it's not just one or two, is it? And you think of this homosexual movement today and now this transsexual movement and all the garbage and you bunch of homophobes, I mean, they even made up a name for us. I don't know if you read about Manny. Is it Manny Pacquiao? Is that how you say his name? And all the grief. My understanding is that Manny Pacquiao is a believer. I'd heard that years ago. He's a boxer from where? Brazil or the Philippines? And he came out. He's sponsored by Nike. He came out. And I don't know that he said it quite right. But basically came out against homosexuality. And Nike dropped him. Well, he lost millions of dollars. But you know, I like one thing about him. He hasn't backed off of it. He's one of those homophobes, you know. But that's the world we're living in, folks. The mystery of iniquity is already working. It's already being revealed. But he's saying, boy, there's going to come a day when it is completely revealed. Now, I just, folks, I tell you what, it's bad now. But can you imagine how bad it's going to be when this hinderer, this one who's holding everything back, says, okay, go right ahead. Now, this being or person, now think about who is this person holding back? Who is he controlling? Satan. All right. So what kind of a person would you have to control Satan? Now, this is really important to help us to understand his identity because there are all kinds of ideas about who this person is who is restraining. Some people say it's the gospel. Some people say it's the Jewish state. Some say it's the principle of law and morality. Some people say it's angels. Some say it's the church. Now, I don't think it's any of those. Okay? I believe this is the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God is doing a restraining work in the world today. And by the way, has been since the beginning of man. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, what's going on in Genesis 6? 6 and 7. Right before the flood. Yeah, and mankind was just wicked. Every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. So they were already doing bad things. And the Lord comes on and he says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. He says, my spirit's not always going to work in people's hearts to keep down the evil. And then in Acts 7:51 it says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. So what's he saying? The Holy Ghost is working to draw people to Christ and to the Father. Turn, again, hold your place there in 2 Thessalonians. Turn back to John chapter 16. I was reading through the Bible several years ago, and I had read this passage many times, and it just didn't make any sense to me at all. And it was one of those, who was it, Ford that has the light bulb? Who is that used to have that old commercial, the light bulb would come on? Was it Ford? Tom drives a Ford, so he's for that. All right. John 16, verse 7, it was one of those kinds. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, verse 7, it is expedient for you that I go away. Now, let me stop. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He's telling his disciples, I'm going to leave. Now, think about his ministry while he was here. The Lord had a ministry, really, of suppressing evil. I mean, he preached the truth. He told them the truth. He said, you're a bunch of snakes. You're a bunch of vipers, and he tried to help people to do what's right. He said, now look, I'm going away, but the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. The Holy Spirit of God, what's his work right now? He is reproving, he's rebuking, he is convicting the world of sin. Okay, how did you get saved? If you're a believer today, what had to happen before you could get saved? The Holy Spirit of God had to convict you and show you that you were a sinner. You'd broken God's law. And he's not only going to do it of sin, but of righteousness. And I think that's the righteousness of Christ. And here's the work of the Holy Spirit of God saying, look, you're a sinner. You don't reach the righteousness of God, but Jesus Christ did. And if you don't take Christ, the last thing he's going to do, he's going to convict them of judgment. Now, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing today to unbelievers. If you're a believer today, if you've been born again, it was a work of the Spirit of God to draw you, to show you your sin, to show you Christ's perfection and that you fall far short of it, that Christ died to pay for your sin, and if you don't receive Christ, there will be judgment. Good question. Hang on. That's page 7. Okay? You're thinking, though. I like that. Good. I haven't even said when he's coming out yet. So you're way ahead of me. Maybe page 8. I've got like 9 pages. We got to hurry. Goodness. All right. So this man of sin cannot be revealed until the Holy Spirit's work of restraining stops. Okay? By the way, what a great picture, an encouragement for us of the sovereignty of God. I was speaking with someone this week that was going through a trial, and they made the comment, God is still in control. And you know what, folks? Even in this point in history, or in the future, in the tribulation, Satan is going to go to town. I mean, boy, it's going to be horrendous. But you know what? Even then, what do you know is true? God is still in control. And just as Satan was limited in his temptation of Job, and just as he is limited in temptation of you, There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you're able. God is in control of all that. Here, even in this, God is still in control, and God's plan is there's going to come a time, just as, by the way, when did Christ come? In the fullness of time, and in the fullness of God's time, the restrainer is going to be removed, and the Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air, is going to rule and reign through the Antichrist. In my lands, it's going to be a terrible time. Now, here's the question. When is the Holy Spirit removed from this restraining work? And what does it mean when we say that his restraining work is no longer going on? Let me just sit down. Mark, take it. You can take it from here, okay? Now, there are many opinions. Here is one area that I differ from Mrs. Lashley, because her thinking, and by the way, she's not alone, is that as a believer, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? When are all believers or the church taken out of this world? At the rapture, which is before the tribulation. And there are many who teach that at this point, that is when the Holy Spirit of God, the church is taken out, which is indwelt by the Spirit of God. That's when all this occurs. The restrainer is taken out. Okay? My personal opinion is that that does not occur. This removal. Let me ask you. When does the Antichrist and Satan get free reign? 3.5 years. Okay? So, according to Seaman logic, which may be wrong or right, I'm not sure, I believe that the Holy Spirit's restraining work is the hands are taken off, the suppression is taken off at that 3.5 years. Now, I do have a problem with that, as Steve mentioned, because in the tribulation, there are 144,000 evangelists go around, and there are a multitude that are saved during the tribulation, even in the last half of the tribulation. Remember this, the Holy Spirit of God is God. And what do you know about God? Where is God? Everywhere. Okay? And my feeling is this, that his restraining work, and may probably even his indwelling, is taken off. But now this, again, this is my opinion. If I'm wrong, when we get to heaven, you'll know, and we'll all say, Seaman, you're an idiot, and you'll say you're right. My opinion is that it will go back to like in the New Testament or the Old Testament before Pentecost, but the Holy Spirit of God is still working, but he's still drawing people to himself to be saved, but he has taken off his restraint of what Satan can do. Okay? We don't let questions be asked because I don't know the answers. Go ahead. Okay, that's next week. Okay, good. All right. You guys always want to push ahead, you know. I don't know what I'm going to do with you guys. Her question is, by the way, if someone hears the gospel today and the rapture occurs, they obviously missed the rapture, they're still here, can they be saved during the tribulation? You want to know? Come back next Sunday. If the rapture happens before that, don't worry about it, all right? Unless you're not saved. Yes, sir. People who are saved during the rapture. I mean, excuse me, not during the tribulation. Correct. Correct. Yeah. The Holy Spirit, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit is taken out of the world. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit quits working. That's exactly right. Right. I know it's not. So, good. Good thoughts. All right, good. I like it when you guys think. I'd much rather have you think than sit there going. Okay, good. All right. So, Now, I just want you to stop and think for a moment about what that time's going to be like. Now, things are bad now. No doubt about it. Things are going to get worse. But you know what? There's going to come a time when that restraint that we now have in the world is going to be gone. Now, if it's this bad with the restraint, what will it be like without the restraint? And when this occurs, by the way, in Revelation, we read that at this point in chapter 15 and 16, the bowl or the vile judgments occur. And so here you've got all this wickedness, and you've got God pouring out his wrath. Listen to what's going to occur in this time during when the restraint is removed. The first bowl judgment, terrible sores on all those with the mark of the beast. Every person who took the mark of the beast has these terrible sores. The second one, all the seas turn to blood, everything in them dies. Can you imagine? The third bowl, all the fresh water turns to blood. The fourth one, the sun gets so hot that it burns men. And by the way, when they're being burned, what do? They curse God. Isn't that amazing? The fifth bowl, terrible darkness that can be felt. The sixth bowl, the Euphrates River dries up, the kings of the east can come up to battle. And the seventh bowl, there's a great voice, the islands are moved, the mountains are gone, 100-pound hailstones raining down from heaven. Wow. I started the lesson by this, you ain't seen nothing yet. Now, here's the good news. If you're a believer, you ain't gonna see that, okay? In that great English. What a great truth to know as a child of God that you'll be taken out at the rapture and you will never experience this terrible time of wickedness, this terrible time of judgment. And if you're a child of God today, you ought to say, hallelujah, thank the Lord for saving me. Because you will never see the events we're talking about. Now, if you're here today and you're not sure of heaven, my friend, if you're not taken up in the rapture, you will be here for this. And what a terrible time this will be. And if you're not saved, hallelujah, for no other reason, I'd get saved so I'd miss that mess. Now, we're closing today with the Antichrist ruling at the high point, okay, where he has the most power. He has destroyed the world's religions. There's one religion that's worshiping the Antichrist, okay? Now, if you want to know the rest of the story, you have to come back next Sunday, okay? Hallelujah. There is an end to the story, and it's a good end, okay? The Antichrist is in power, but hallelujah, it's just for a short time, and then God's going to take him down. And boy, there's going to be some great things happening after that. And we'll continue our study there, okay? Lord, we do thank you for the grace of God. We thank you that your Spirit spoke to us and drew us to Christ. And Lord, there's a believer, we will never see this terrible time. And Lord, we thank you for your wonderful salvation. If there's one here today not sure of heaven, I pray that even today they would turn and receive your gift of salvation and become a child of God. Help us as believers to not live for this world. It's going to all be destroyed. Lord, help us to live for things eternal, we pray. Thank you, Lord, that even in this situation, you're still in control. You're still on the throne. And Lord, we ask you just to drive these thoughts home to our hearts. Help them to change us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.